This is Garden City Community College Bronkbusters Coaches Show, a chance to visit with Bronkbusters coaches and athletes live from Old Chicago in Garden City. Here's your host, the voice of the Bronkbusters, Cal Friedman.
Welcome back to the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. It's our first show here in 2024 with Colin Wolf back in the KWKR studio. My name is Cal Friedman. Hopefully everyone's doing well. For those of you who are on the roads right now, be sure to stay safe, relax. Got an hour of this show to listen to if you're making your way down the roads. We're right into the heat of basketball season. We'll have a couple of players from the men's squad and assistant coach Mike Harmon later on in the show, but we'd like to open up with women's basketball. We welcome on first-year head coach Greg Franklin. Coach, thank you for coming out tonight. How are you doing?
Appreciate you having me, Cal. Doing all right, other than the cold.
Ooh. Yeah, both of us Floridians. We'll get into that in a moment. last Saturday, I wanted to touch on something before the game against Coffeeville. You got a chance to see your Wildcats win at Florida. Kentucky is now one again. They beat Mizzou. Can you talk to me about where the Kentucky fandom comes from?
Well, I grew up in Kentucky. You grow up, you're a Wildcat fan, but also you move away, then you pull for Louisville as well, or Murray State, or anybody else in the state. But I'm a big Blue fan.
I was going to say, what's it like just getting to grow up in that big a basketball country?
It's a huge deal. You talk about it. We talk about this all the time. When you're born, they put a basketball in your hand. And, you know, there's no better feeling than to watch a fellow Kentuckian do so well and Reed Shepherd. We take a lot of pride in that, especially you talk about the untouchables. You had Richie Farmer and Jerry Pelfrey and, those cats and Darren Feldhaus, Reggie Hansen, Travis Ford. And actually I grew up, really, really close to Travis, and we played Kentucky All-Stars together, went to Europe together with Allen Houston and those guys. So it was fun to watch them. You know, it was fun to follow them even when I was in college. I can remember one of my fondest memories was we played at Louisville, and Louisville was one or two in the country. They had LeBradford Smith. Kenny Payne was on that team, Tony Kimbrough, Felton Spencer. that was an unbelievable team. And I remember we were in the Galt House, and my grandmother actually called me before cell phone. She called me on the hotel phone, and she said, "Boy, I saw you a lot on Sports Center tonight." I said, "Oh, really?" She said, "Yeah, you were getting dunked on every time." I was a freshman, starting point guard, and I think they set a school record for the most dunks in a game. I think it was 15.
Jeez. Yep. I was going to say, we talked about some of the guys on this year's team that you were a fan of, but Coach Cal's had a lot of really good players in his tenure, besides some of the guys you named. Any guys that really stand out?
He's had some really good guards in his time. And that takes him back to Derrick Rose at Memphis, and then we're coming to Kentucky. You had Emmanuel Quickley now. He's got a host of those guys. I mean, Booker for the Suns. I mean, it's just so, Shai Gilgeous.
Yep. No, that's right.
From Oklahoma. I mean, he's had so many really, really good guards. But the frustrating thing is they're gone in a year. And this group right here has probably got several that'll be gone this year. Hoping we can hold on to a couple, three, but we get a lot of commitments, and you see these reloading, but it's still you struggle with not having that type of maturity for your team. And I can parlay that into my team, having seven freshmen and one sophomore and eight kids. You know, we were talking today, and I said, I just really need to just free them up and let them just play fast. Press and do, but when we do that, we wind up having two players left on the court because it's called so tightly around here. And it's called tightly everywhere now with the hand checking rules and the freedom of motion and all that good stuff. But we're just gonna have to let them go a little bit. We're not a great half court team right now, so they're better in transition. And I get very leery of foul trouble, so. We have to change the way we're doing things and be smarter defensively.
To dive into your team for a little bit, I want to touch back into the SEC a little later, but you mentioned the maturity of this group right after we got back from break. It's been tested a couple times during this three-game skid. Where does this group need to go to take the next step maturity-wise?
Well, accountability. You know, I'm the first to say if I mess something up or I wasn't prepared, and I told them today, I said, "Guys, you know, I have to be more accountable making you accountable." If that makes sense. And I'm a pretty spirited coach. You know, I don't pull any punches. I tell you straight up, you know you're going to get the truth with me. And sometimes the truth hurts. But I think we've gotten to the point where after Christmas, we forgot to work. You know, I don't mind losing. I don't like losing.
No,
if we're playing extremely hard and we're playing and we're clicking and we're connected, you know, it just looks like we've come back with some agendas, you know, points, and probably went home and heard, got an earful from family members about how many you're scoring and how many this person's scoring on the team, who's taking shots. And, you know, it creeps in to teams quite a bit, especially with your freshman-laden teams. I mean, we say it again, seven freshmen. So, and you know what? We're right there in a lot of ballgames. The only ballgame we weren't in was Butler, and we had both our point guards out. So I'm not making excuses for our kids, but we're right there. We're right there where we can make a run. But cut it to six and miss a wide-open layup and miss a rotation, and they go down and hit a three. I mean, that was at Coffeyville. We had all the momentum coming back. And, again, I look back at that game and watched that game last night, and I watched our game again last night and watched it again today with the kids. You know, we're very, very close in a lot of things. You can't get out-rebounded 24 rebounds. It just can't happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a death sentence. And you only lose by 10. And, you know, we cut the game to 6-7 at times. You just can't do that. You just can't have the mishaps. And I don't think our guards are rebounding as well as they need to rebound right now. I think the emphasis is on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. We've got to come up with some second shots. And really and truly, I know I'm just speaking basketball. Everybody knows this. You got to limit them to one or none, you know. And I think that we'll get clicking again. I mean, they've hit that freshman wall, and, you know, they were back here on the 26th at 5 o'clock, and I still think, like I said, I think they were Christmas caroling up until this point. Hopefully, you know, taking some losses here, they'll start paying attention to detail and get a little bit more fierce on getting themselves better so their role on this team will grow. That we talk about that all the time. Spend some time in this gym. What we do together is not going to grow your game. It grows us as a team. But what you got to do is spend that individual time in the gym to grow your game, to grow your role. And I don't know if we've really, really bared down on that yet. But, you know, I did see some kids in there today doing some extra stuff. And, you know, reality hits you. You know, you can do two things. You can cower down or you can step up. And, you know, when we start this year, we say there's two things you got to be able to handle as a team, too. One is adversity and one is success. We had early success, and now we hit a little adversity. It really tests your character. It'll show you exactly where you're at.
Talking with the women's basketball head coach Greg Frankhead, who's just joining us here on the Garden City Community College Coaches Show. You were just talking about kind of the youthfulness of this team. Seven freshmen, one sophomore. You're talking about watching these games back. How do you feel like they respond to watching film?
Reality hits them, you know. We watch every game. We'll watch it back, and we'll point out what's wrong, what's right. We had a lot of wrong today, but we had some right. I think like they always say, film don't lie, you know, and it doesn't. But you also have to be able to watch yourself and really come to the realization of, hey, I'm not getting it done. I'm not playing as intensely as I need to. I'm not shooting the ball well because I haven't spent time in here. We always say this, if you get a wide open shot, take it. But you always need to be prepared to take that shot. Now, okay, you're getting your feet set, your hands ready, 10 fingers to the sky. No, that's not what I'm talking about. You see that ball go in the hole enough on your own to where you're a very, very confident shooter because I've put in the time. You know, all the technique things you can talk to these kids about and show them. And if they don't go out and repetitiously do it, it makes no difference. I mean, you're going to still be the same player. As you're not sharpening your eye, you're not sharpening your skill level. It's accountability right now. Yeah.
When you talk about technique and you talk about skill, we talked after the game yesterday, the one word I remember you saying a lot was toughness. Yeah. Just an open-ended question for someone who's been in the game for a long time. Can toughness be coached?
Well, part of that, yes, part of it is coached and learned. If you want to learn it, it's like anything else. like we talk about, I mean, hey, you're not boxing out. You're not being physical. You got to give your body up for your teammates. Yeah. Okay, it's good concept. But until you go out and do it and have success with it, it's just lip service. We're not really getting anything done here. So that's kind of where we've been, you know, for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. I mean, we're giving a lot of lip service. Are we really putting motion into it? Are we really getting something done? And, you know, I see signs of it. Eventually I'll see signs of it. And I got to catch myself sometimes, too, and say, seven freshmen, man, they don't have anything to draw reference from. You know, Stevie didn't play a whole lot last year. Her role was not huge. She played more in the second half of the season. But style of play, she's still learning me. I mean, so it, and I'm learning them, you know. That's the great thing about sophomores in junior college that play for you the year before. They kind of know what you expect and kind of know what it is to hit and go get, you know. We're trying to figure that out right now. Do I think the teams that we're playing are a lot better than us? Well, let me give you this. Independence beat Butler last night.
Yep.
So we put it to Independence there. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just who according – it's just who's ready to go and who's ready to sacrifice. You know, one thing we talk about with shooting, we shot 13% in the third quarter. We took some really, really tough shots, bad shots. People taking shots that they hadn't normally taken. But the key there is that, you know, you take good shots and it goes in, and then what happens? Your confidence goes up. Then the hoop becomes bigger and bigger and bigger for you. When you take tough shots and you see the ball not going in, your confidence kind of hits the barrel, you know, bottom of the barrel. So, you know, everything's connected to everything out there. There's not one thing that you can do lightly, politely, easy. Everything's hard. And right now it's kind of slapped them in the face that I'm not really ready to be that hard. But, you know, hey, man, they're good kids. They work extremely hard. You know, and like I say, from a first year, if you would say we're 10-5 at this point, with what I know I have, I would say, yeah, I'll take that.
It is a first year, not only in this conference for you, but with basically an entirely new group of players in this program. With the signs that you've been seeing, is it something that's going to take just one big game and then the confidence is going to roll, or is it going to take maybe a second half of the season?
It's going to take us growing. I mean, it's going to be baby steps. Oh, we all, us coaches always said, well, we just need to be clicking in February. No. No, we need to start clicking now, so we'll really be clicking in February.
Okay.
So, do I think we can beat anybody on our schedule? Yeah, I do. You know, even with, you know, not time to recruit and not being able to get a bunch of kids in here and being shallow on the bench a little bit, yeah, we still can beat anybody. But it has to be something where we gotta really figure out and sell out and do the right things, you know, for the rest of the way.
You guys are two games away from flipping over to playing these opponents for a second time. So as you're almost halfway through your first season in the Jayhawk, can I ask you about some of the difference between the Jayhawk and the conference you were coaching, the FCSAA in Chipola?
You know what? I will say this. The Jayhawk this year, the teams, I mean, you've got four or five nationally ranked teams. From top to bottom is very, very good. Whereas I was in the Panhandle, we only have five teams, and probably four of those were going to be rated in the top 15, top 10. You know, both conferences right now have a lot of parity. There's a lot of parity. I could see somebody from the Jayhawk winning the national championship this year.
Okay,
I could. Yeah, for sure. Now I've watched Chipola on film. I've watched Northwest. I've watched Pensacola, haven't seen Tallahassee, and haven't seen Gulf Coast. But if Northwest is the number one team in the country, and I watch the teams in our league, yeah. A lot of times when I played teams in the Jayhawk when I was at Chipola for 11 years, you know, the one thing that was lacking was a lot of athleticism. I think that there's a lot of teams in this league this year that have a lot of athleticism, a lot of length. And that was the one thing I'm missing. I just think that this league is on the rise. You've got some really good coaches, really talented coaches in this league. Passionate people going to go recruit. You know, I think it's on the rise right now, and it's always been a great league. It always has been. You know, and it's always been a good coaches league. I can tell you that for sure. That's what kind of drew me to this league, to Garden City, that I know how many great coaches are in this league, and I would love to go against and compete. You know, like I said, I'd like to have a loaded gun when I go to battle. Right now, you know, we got about half a clip, but I cannot take anything away from this group. They work extremely hard. They just got to get, you know, they got to grow up a little bit more mature and be able to handle, you know, better, lack of a better phrase, a fist fight.
So it's officially cold here. It's two Floridians dealing with their first Kansas winters. I want to ask you, because over Christmas break, I went on vacation. I had to get out of here for a couple weeks. You stayed here the whole time. Is your body adjusted?
No, not at all. No. And my wife's body hadn't adjusted. I come in the house. She said, "Where did you bring me to?" But she loves the place. She Good. Does. But it's for her being a Tampa girl, it's been a little different. Especially, she called me today at work and said, "You're going to the store for me. I'm not going." I said, "All right." I guess she said, "Have you been outside?" I said, "No, I'm not going out there." No.
Can I ask you about one story you were telling me the other day? Obviously, you've dealt with some extreme weathers before. At Chipola College, you talked about sitting through Hurricane Michael, I believe. Yep. Can you talk to me about that story again?
Hurricane Michael was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. I'm telling you, we had three trees in our house, one in a truck. But that was the norm for every house in Marianna, Florida, where Chipola's at. Couldn't drive by a home that didn't have a tarp on top of it, because everything was just, it was so bad. I mean, I was going into our shelter and turn around, I see a big oak just flying 100 yards. And, you know, I don't know much about hurricanes. I didn't know much until I got there. I know they're in hurricane season right now. But the biggest thing was is that I didn't check it. My wife was checking it overnight, all night long. She was watching it, and she said, "The pressure's dropping. It's going through the Gulf." Like, she probably said a few swear words at me and "get your lazy up and let's go." So thank God she did, because it was tough. You know, it went a month and change without power, and you understand that. I mean, you don't know what you need until you need it.
Yeah.
And that was the phrase that was pushed around there. But I have to say, hey, you know, having that kind of craziness going on in Northwest Florida, and people coming in and looting, and you see the worst of people, but then, boy, I tell you what, you see the best of people, because people are there really helping each other. You know, I can imagine the other night in the blizzard, there's people helping people and people getting stuck out there and people trying to help them out. You know, I actually walked my dogs that night, and I couldn't see a foot in front of myself in my little black dots, and she jumped into a drift, and I thought, man, if I come back in this house without this dog, I'm going to get killed.
Yeah, so you've dealt with a lot of weather now. Yeah. So to go back off to what we were talking to before, I want to end on this. We were talking about Kentucky at the start. There's a lot of great coaches in the SEC, especially on the men's side right now. We talked about Coach Cal, Rick Barnes, Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates. Are there any coaches that you really like to take influence from?
Well, I mean, I really enjoyed going and spending a week with Coach Ariyama and looking at all his stuff and us, a lot of us just trying to pick his brain. You know, when I was at Mississippi State, there were several coaches. We played against Pat, that did a really good job. Now, what I'll say to you is that better players make you a better coach. Let's don't ever kid ourselves on that.
Okay.
And I'll never, ever say, look, I know it all. I got it all figured out, because I don't. But better players make better coaches. Let's make no misnomers about that. You know, and they always say it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jennies and the Joes. That's very much true. So for us program, our program at Garden City, you know, I've got to make sure that, you know, I'm planting the flag in recruitment. And we've got a lot of really good players we're looking at. Some will be in here in the next month or so. Very, very excited about bringing a good class in here. And I think that that's going to be a big difference as well. You know, these kids are playing their hearts out, but they're just not a bench. You know, just, you know, and we don't have a lot of length, but boy, we got speed. It's fun to watch when we're clicking. It is.
Really well worded. Always appreciate having you on. That is head coach Greg Franklin, the women's basketball team. They start a 3-game road trip next week as they take on Dodge City. Coach, thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
We'll step aside and be right back with men's basketball here on the Garden City Coaches Show live from Old Chicago.